Our gospel reading this morning is from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Listen for the gospel. People were bringing little children to him, to Jesus, in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your word and for your word, Jesus Christ, and for children who Jesus taught us are, show us the way to your kingdom. Help us to hear your word this morning and hear it anew. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I know in a lot of Presbyterian churches and a lot of churches in general, there's a sermon for children, right? There's a time when the preacher maybe gives a more simplified message so that the children will hear what's going on, but and will maybe get a bit, we'll have something that's specifically for them. And from what I understand, the adults half the time get more out of that sermon than the grown-up version. One of the things that we assume about kids is that they don't know stuff, or at least maybe I've assumed that. Kids sort of have empty brains that are waiting to be filled with knowledge. But what if we're wrong? Should we have sermons for children or perhaps sermons by children? And maybe we already do. And unfortunately, my kids are not organized enough yet to be able to lay out a sermon, a three-point sermon, or what they called the Longhorn sermon. Have y'all heard of a Longhorn sermon before? Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. I think my dad called it that way. It's, you know, it's a point here and a point here and a lot of bowl in between. Or the cold cut combo sermon, that's mine. You ever been to Subway? You get the cold cut combo? I'll never get a cold cut combo from Subway. When I worked there a couple times, it was a really boring Saturday and we had the cold cut combo meet, and I was not part of this. I just watched as my disrespectful coworkers tossed the cold cut combo meat up against the drive-through window to see if it stuck. It's hung up there for like an hour. but the point being, you know, a cold cut combo sermon, you just throw it up against the wall, throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and see what sticks. This is about seven sermons from kids, because a lot of times we do look for people who are older and wiser for wisdom. But Jesus says, look to kids. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he says, will not enter it. Do we pay attention to the sermons kids preach? And the answer is, you know, sometimes. Sometimes. Sometimes I think that the stories that I post about Micah on my Facebook page, or that Micah's journal entries, I post a journal ostensibly from my kid Micah on my Facebook page, and half the time I think that that's putting more good into the world than my sermons. So without further ado, a few sermons that kids preach. The first one is tenacity. Kids can teach us about patience, persistence, and creativity in asking for and getting what they want. Tenacity. We have an electric bike that has two seats on the back. I don't know, do I have a picture of that? Okay. This electric bike that's got two seats on the back. And Micah likes to go for a bike ride. Ryan is more give or take. And half the time, Michael will say, "I want to go for a bike ride." And he will climb up on the bike and wait for up to a half hour for Ryan to figure out that he wants to go too. He'll just wait up there. This is him sitting on the driver's seat because I think that's just his preferred seat. Or Ryan will just protest for a very long time when he wants something or doesn't want something. doesn't necessarily matter if it's good for him. Sometimes I'll just cave and give it to him anyway. And we see this, Jesus talks about how God as our Father. Which of you fathers, if you see your son, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a stone? Or if your kid asks for an unhealthy snack, will you just like hit him? No. But with that is the tenacity. We put things out of Ryan's reach, and that doesn't seem to bother him. He's, in this picture, he's stacked two stools next to each other and put a step stool on top of them so that he could reach whatever it was. I think it was a flashlight, maybe, that I was trying to keep out of his reach. So that's sermon one, patience, persistence, and creativity in getting what they want. A lot of times when we pray, we'll be like, well, God, if you want it to be done, then maybe this will be the good. Kids don't care. Kids are like, I want it. And I like that. Another one is willingness to try doing stuff, even if they're not good at it. Oh, kids are... Have you ever known anyone who was as bad at doing stuff as little kids and who kept doing it as tenaciously? You ever watch a kid learn to walk? Oh my gosh. They fall down a million times. Micah, if I fell down while I was running around as much as Micah did, they sent him home with a note from daycare the other day, and the note said that he had fallen down and hit his head, and they put an ice pack on him. I was like, you sure the bruise wasn't there before he got there? Like, kids bounce back so hard. Ryan and Micah, they surprise me all the time doing stuff that I didn't know that they could do. And when they fall down, they just get up and dust themselves off sometimes, or they'll like sit and snuggle for a little bit. They just bounce back, you know? There's a willingness to try doing stuff, even if they're not good at it. Going back to last week's text, Jesus says, the disciples say, Lord, give us more faith. And Jesus says, if you had the amount of faith as a grain of mustard, you could say to this mountain, move. And I heard a sermon on the Day One podcast, which I highly recommend. It's a sermon from, it's like a sermon podcast from sort of the mainline Presbyterian churches, or not just Presbyterians, like the Episcopalians and all that. It's usually really great. This minister who's in Georgia, who had come over from Ghana, he was talking about how we think of faith as maybe something that we can accumulate if we just fill it up, if we get more and more faith. But he says Jesus is treating faith in that story as a muscle, something that you get more of by using it. And there's that willingness to try doing stuff. That kids try doing stuff, even if they're not good at it. And I sometimes think that if we adults, if we just tried doing stuff, we could maybe do more than we think we could. What kids don't know is that they can't do stuff. Kids don't know they can't do stuff, and half the time they end up doing it anyway. Sermon number three, wonder and delight and the practice of joy. You know, it's easy when you get big to let the world suck delight right out of you, isn't it? It's so easy. But kids can find delight in all kinds of things. And I shared this video on my Facebook page, but I wanted to show it to you. Just this is a sermon in itself. Micah figured out that he is just barely tall enough to reach the garage door opener. And you've got to see this. Yes. And if you could turn off the captions for this so it fills the screen. Please open it there. He would have done that for the next 10 minutes if I'd let him. Or 10 hours. No, I think he would have eventually quit. But he comes at it with, when I open the garage door, I just go, oh, that's nice. Unless I've spent a long time fixing it and it finally works. But he just, it's the sheer joy for me. And thinking about wonder and delight and the practice of joy, and I don't remember why, but when I was out serving communion, I remembered this quote by Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. He said, never once in my life did I ask God for success or wisdom or power or fame. I asked for wonder, and he gave it to me. And that was the title of one of his anthologies, I Asked for Wonder. Wonder and delight in the practice of joy. And I want to show you Ryan and Micah. That's not right. Did I have one? Are there tractors on there, Michael? Are there tractors on the next one? No, no tractors? Okay. But speaking of just doing things over and over and over again, what happened? Okay. Let's try this again. There it is. They got Tonka trucks from our neighbor, and they're just running up and down the driveway. They spent an hour or more, several times, just running up and down the driveway with their Tonka trucks. Just up and down the driveway, and up and down, and up and down, and up and down, and up and down. Just the wonder and the delight, and you know, they don't necessarily know stuff. Like, Micah didn't know that the trick that Ryan did where he runs beside the tractor, or where he runs beside the Tonka truck without having to push it, that only works on the downhill. So Micah was trying to, like, push it up the hill, and we'll get to that part in a minute. But there's a kids' show Kristen and I watched called Bluey. It's about a family of blue heeler dogs, and it was made clearly by parents. Well, for kids, but also sort of with lots of winks to parents. And there was an episode called Born Yesterday, where the kids ask their dad if he can pretend that he was born yesterday. And he just goes through the world, like, not knowing anything at all. And at first, he's just really annoying. But at some point, he picks up a leaf and acts like he's never seen it before. And then he kind of realizes that he really has never seen it before. And he spends the next little while just standing out in the yard, staring at that leaf and watching little bugs. And because that's some of the stuff that we adults, we forget how to do. We forget wonder. And that is definitely a sermon for kids, a sermon for grown-ups from kids. They like to do the same thing over and over again. Throw Ryan and Mike on the couch, and they bounce off and immediately ask to do it again. Or they'll ask me to, Ryan calls it play get you game, where I chase him around and say, I'm going to get you, and just chase him around and around and around the house. They could play that for hours. Sermon number four. They feel and express their emotions around their parents. Yes. Self-regulation is important. And with that, so is being able to say how you feel. I don't remember who told me the story. Was it you, Marlene, about the kid who was out on the playground and fell down and got hurt and didn't cry? No, that wasn't from you. I heard it from somebody. I thought it was somebody at church. The kid falls down at the playground, does not hurt, or doesn't cry, but then when he gets home, he runs to his mommy and starts weeping, and the mom says, well, wait, I thought you were fine. Why didn't you cry at the playground? And she says, because you weren't there to hear me. Yeah, they feel and express their emotions. Kids don't understand cynicism or sarcasm very well. Like the other day, I was We were driving past a house on our street that had some fairly political signs that I did not generally agree with, and they had recently put up one, and I read it in a sarcastic tone of voice, and I was like, meh, meh, meh. And Ryan's, and I said, oh, I read the sign sarcastically, and I said, I'm so surprised. And Ryan says immediately, no, you're not. He was right. Kids, they don't have the cynicism or sarcasm that we've managed to build up as a defense mechanism. Sermon number 5. They're of 7. Imitating their parents. Kids imitate their parents just as... now I'm going to forget. I think it's 1st, 2nd John. They say, imitate God as dear children. I think it's 1st John. Imitate God. I remember when Ryan was little or littler, I found that he was just this very polite kid. He would always say please and thank you to us. And I remembered our Southern relations always having to tell their kids, say please, say thank you. And we never had to do that because we always said please and thank you to them, and they realized that that was just the way of being in the world. On the other hand, Ryan has also learned other words and phrases from us that, you know, that we'd prefer that he not say in church. One of the other words and phrases that I've heard come out of Ryan's mouth was, don't ever do that again. And I know exactly whose mouth that came out of. He heard that from me. I told him that one time when I was really upset at him, and he learned that that is what you say to someone who does something that you really don't want them to do. We imitate those that we spend time around, and kids love being with their parents. I thought I had a picture of this, but I don't. Ryan will often sneak out after he was supposed to be in bed and just to hang out in our office across the hall with me and Kristen. We put him to bed and he just sort of winds his way back. Yeah, after he was supposed to be in bed. Didn't have that. It says, live in love. Live in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us. Just live in the love of God. Sermon number 6. Simple hope. Simple hope. Micah does not know how gravity works, and that didn't stop him from trying to push his Tonka trucks up the driveway and just sort of let them roll all the way up, just like Ryan was doing it down in that video. He doesn't know that that's not how gravity works, but he keeps trying. Well, he tried it a few times anyway. He was like, roll? Why did it stop? You know, he didn't understand how everything worked. He didn't understand that that's not how it works. And I've noticed that my kids don't understand how the world works. They don't understand the complexities of it, but they know when something is wrong that something is wrong. And what we can learn from that is to be maybe more simplistic in our prayers, even as we understand complexity in our work. We might know that the solution to a problem is more complex, more complicated, but that doesn't mean that we can't pray to God and say, can you just fix this the easy way? You know, kids don't have big fixes, but they have big hearts. You ever get comforted by a small child? Sometimes it makes the big problems seem a little bit smaller. Sermon number 7. Kids will run back no matter what. Sometimes I have seen Ryan or Micah just be really upset with mommy or daddy. Just really upset. And then he falls down and gets hurt and he comes running. You know? But when we get older, we sort of learn the lie that God doesn't want you back if you're just coming back for help. If you're only coming because you're in a rough spot, that God is not interested. You know, when I'm in a tight spot, I'll just sometimes be like, is it really right of me to only pray when I find myself feeling stuck? Kids don't have that hang up. They'll ignore you all day and then come running when they get a broken knee. Or not a broken knee, like they'll fall down and hurt themselves and they'll come running. You know? Kids don't have that hang up. I've probably told this story a time or two, but it had such an impact on me. This young woman, when I was doing chaplaincy at Shadyside in Pittsburgh, she came in and she had just found out that if she did not get chemo, she had 2 weeks to live. And she had a 10-year-old daughter. She was like 30 years old, and she'd gotten some kind of really intense cancer. It was really hard. And her brother had recently come to faith, and she said, "Does God want to hear from me if I haven't talked to God for years and years and years, and like that doesn't sound right, does it?" And I said, "Okay, well, what if your daughter was staying away from you for a long time and was, you know, having a and then she had a rough patch and she just really needed her mom. Would you turn her away?" And she was like, "No, of course not." And I said, pardon my language, it was a hospital, it seemed like the right thing to say at the moment. I said, "I don't think God's a bigger dick than we are." And that's sort of become a core piece of my theology. I don't think God's meaner than I am. The Psalm passage that was assigned for this week that we didn't read in Wilda Gaffney's translation talked about the indomitable love of God, the love of God that you just can't overcome. You can't stop it, no matter how hard you try. You can't stop the love of God. It is indomitable. Seven sermons from kids. Tenacity. Willingness to try doing stuff even if you're not good at it. Wonder and delight and the practice of joy. Feeling and expressing emotions around your parents. Imitating your parents or imitating God. Simple hope. And running back no matter what. These are the seven that I thought of off the top of my head and after looking back on a few months' worth of my Facebook posts. There are so many more. These are just the ones that I thought of right away. So I'll keep sharing stories about my kids as on my Facebook, and maybe if they give me a good sermon, I'll preach it. So thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the wisdom and the lessons that you show us in little children. Help us to listen to the sermons that they preach and to hear them and to obey you as we hear their sermons. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.